Ewell went on nodding. Lee looked at Rhodes, who said nothing. After a moment, Early said, "You may remember, sir, that I passed over this ground a few days ago and am familiar with it. The hill is named Cemetery Hill. It has another hill beyond it, also occupied. It will be a very strong position." Lee closed his eyes for a moment, was very tired. "Think of all of it later." An aide brought a cup of hot boiled coffee, thick with sugar. Lee drank, revived, abruptly saw the face of Jackson in his mind, a flare of coal blue eyes. He looked up, blinked, could almost see him. Jackson was here. Jackson was looking on. Ewell was drinking coffee. Early had folded his arms. Rhodes still gazed at the ground, plucking at one of his fingers. Lee said, "Can you attack on this flank in the morning?" Ewell sat up. Early did not move. Lee felt the depression, cold and slow and steady like a wind in his brain, shook his head to blow it away. Early said, "That hill will be a very strong position once it is fortified, which they are doing right now." "Very strong," Ewell nodded violently. "Have you looked over the ground, sir?" Early asked. "From a distance." Early leaned back into the dark. He spoke slowly, deliberately. "I do not think we should attack this point. This will be the strong point. Our troops have marched hard today and fought hard today. I suggest we hold here while the rest of the army makes an attack on the other flank." "You think an attack here would succeed?" "I think it would be very costly." Ewell nodded. Lee turned. "General Rhodes?" Rhodes looked up, glanced away, shrugged. "We'll attack, of course, but the men have had a good fight, and it will be a strong position." He looked up at Ewell, then quickly away. "I'm sorry we did not take it today." "Well," Lee said, "today is done." "General Longstreet has not been engaged," Early said. "His corps has not been fought for some time." He was referring to Chancellorsville, where Longstreet's men had been detached. "If he were to attack on the right, he would draw the enemy from this position, and we could then attempt the assault, supported, of course, by General Hill." Lee thought, "Longstreet cannot stand the man. I wonder why. Something too cold here. Something disagreeable in the silence of the eyes, the tilt of the head. Jubal. Strange name. Old Jubilee. Nothing happy about the man. And yet, unmistakable competence." Lee said, "Longstreet proposes that we move our army to the right around the enemy flank and interpose between Meade and Washington." "And vacate this position?" Ewell popped his eyes, slapped the splintered wood again. "Leave this town, which we have just captured?" Lee said with some irritation, "The town is of no importance." Ewell looked to Early. Early said slowly, "To move this entire corps in the face of a fortified enemy?" He smiled slightly, with a touch of the disdain for which he was rapidly becoming notorious.
"Hardly fitting," Ewell piped. "Hardly. Troops fought so hard for this town. Do we move them out and march them off into the woods in sight of the enemy?
Morale will suffer, General. The boys are ready. Our boys are ready."
"Longstreet is on the defensive again," Early grinned. "I suppose that's to be expected, but really, sir, it seems to me we are here and the enemy is there. And Hill and General Ewell have engaged, and Longstreet has not. If Longstreet can be induced to attack on the right, we can give you this hill tomorrow by sundown." Ewell was nodding again, pointing at Early, wagging a bony finger. They talked. Lee made no decision. Must not judge Ewell now.